The Old Testament lesson for the second Sunday in Easter of Easter is from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you in the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord. 8 days ago, it was Holy Saturday, the day between Good Friday and Easter. We know the story well. We know the timeline of events. On Good Friday, our Lord Jesus was crucified and died, and then he was laid into the tomb on Friday late in the afternoon. And then on Good Saturday, on Holy Saturday, he rested in the tomb. Just as our Lord God rested on the seventh day of creation after the 6 days of making all that we know and see and experience by the word of his mouth, the Lord Jesus rested on the Sabbath day in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. He had finished the work that he had done. We spoke of this several weeks ago. But the significance of the passion of Jesus Christ, his death and burial, to the Old Testament days does not stop just making a comparison to the Sabbath rest, to the seventh day of the week. Our Lord's passion also has very deep connections to the Passover celebration itself. Now, we know, I hope we know, that the Passover was connected to Israel's exodus from 400 years of bondage in Egypt and slavery. The night before that they were delivered, the 10th and the final plague, the Lord's Passover, came. God told Israelites what to do. Take a lamb, unblemished, spotless, a good lamb that is, and slaughter it. Take the blood from the lamb, smear it on the doorposts of your homes and on the lintels, and then take the lamb, roast it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. That night, then, after they did all of these things, as Israel hunkered down in their homes, the Lord sent the angel of death, who then killed the firstborn sons in all of the Egyptians' homes and any home that was not marked with the lamb on its door. The final plague had come. But God be praised, Israel, insofar as they followed the Lord's instructions of what to do that night, they were spared. Spared the sorrow, spared the death that came on so many other homes not protected by the blood of that lamb. They were saved. And then, of course, we know, the next day they fled that 400-year prison, guided by the Lord himself, a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. And thus the Passover, the Lord's Passover, the Lord delivering his people, winning for them the victory that they so earnestly had been waiting for and yearning for. And for this reason, of that monumental event in the life of God's people, the Lord commanded that Israel keep this Passover, mark it as a holiday every year, while the Exodus itself, of course, getting up and going out of a foreign land, was not something that they repeated time and again. It was reminded, it was recalled annually as a feast to the Lord, as it said, throughout the generations that came afterward. God wanted Israel. He wanted his people to take time to remember what they had once been in misery and to remember what the Lord had so mightily and generously done for them, his work of redemption. He wanted them to celebrate it. And that's what they did. They stopped. And that day and that week in which they celebrated the Passover, they remembered that they were God's people, that he was their God, and that he keeps his promises always and delivers when he says he will. But there is a second reason, a second purpose in the Lord telling Israel to annually remember the Passover. And to see and understand that, we need look no further than our Savior Jesus Christ. The Exodus and the deliverance of Israel from Egypt was magnificent. It was something to behold, and it certainly was worth marking all on its own. But I'll tell you this, what that Exodus, what that Passover was then pointing forward to, giving a preview and a glimpse of, that was worth marking and celebrating even more so. And it is the greater Exodus from sin and death wrought for God's people by our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the true and the complete Passover of God. And it is the one which even that event itself, on the very night it happened, was always foreshadowing, previewing, pointing forward to. It was always that Passover looking forward to Jesus hanging dead on the cross on Good Friday. Paul does not mince words. He writes to the Corinthians, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. He knows the Old Testament. His audience knew the Old Testament for the most part. And they would have seen very clearly, this is it. This is the real Passover, the fulfillment, and what our Lord Jesus has done for us. Were the unblemished lambs in those particular households back in Egypt delivered Israel, what has the Lamb of God done for us but by his blood delivered us? By his death and resurrection, God has brought his true Israel, the church, out of the bondage that we have been in to sin and death. And indeed, we sing of that in hymn 633. Are we singing that today? I think we are. We sure are. Number two, during communion. So mark it and pay attention. Where the paschal blood is poured, death's dread angel sheathes its sword. The connection to the Passover, though, keeps going, of course. The wave that drowned the Egyptians as they were chasing Israel after they left. Well, what is that but a foreshadowing of our own baptism in water? Israel was saved by the water, drowning their enemies, and combined with the Word of God, we're saved by water, which drowns our enemies, sin, death, and our own flesh. Israel was born new and free on the other side of the Red Sea, and we're born new and free on the other side of the waters of baptism. But there is one more thing, before we wrap up, that we must note about the Passover itself, and that is the eating and the drinking that went along with that holiday. Just as Israel was commanded to eat the lamb and the unleavened bread, we are commanded to do the same. Christ, the Lamb of God, says, take and eat. This is my body given for you. In the Lord's Supper, we have the true and the complete and the full Passover meal as we eat the food, as we eat of the means by which we have been saved. Holy Communion, Paschal, that is to say Passover food, Paschal drink. What a fitting thing to mark, to remember, to sing, to do. Just as it is fitting that Jesus rested in the tomb on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, It's fitting that he died, just as it was fitting that he died for, as Israel celebrated the Passover, it's fitting that we are given his body and his blood to eat and drink with the promise that by eating and drinking in faith and repentance, we are saved from death. So today, and every time we celebrate it, come, remember, take and eat. Your Lord has passed from death to life. He has come out victorious, and insofar as we are in him by faith, we will come out in the end victorious too. Alleluia, Christ is risen.